Hey, good morning, church. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's put our hands together and celebrate this morning. Are you ready? Here we go.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire.
Sing it out now.
Till I am a soul on fire.
Hey. Every voice lifted up. Sing this in spirit and in truth. Come on.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. I have wandering, lead me back. In this darkness, lead me through. Until all I see is you.
Let's sing together, come on.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul.
Let me return to you.
Let me return to you again.
Let's sing it together, church.
Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return.
Amen, amen. Our hearts burn for him and long to be with him. That's why we gather in this place to worship him. Amen. Hey, before we do anything else this morning, find someone close to you that you haven't said good morning to yet. Say hello, introduce yourself to them. All right, you can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship this morning through believers' baptism.
Well, amen, church family. It is a joy to worship together, and it's a joy to continue to see people coming into the waters of baptism. Today we have 9 that are coming to publicly identify with the Lord Jesus. Here with me we have Neil Jeffrey and Johnny Farr baptizing together these 9, and this is Emma Grace Collins.
This is Ian Fisher.
This is Aiden Fallen.
Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Tori Morton.
This is Sun Yu.
This is Alex Fallen.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Dylan Seacrest. Dylan, because of your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in obedience to His command, it's our privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for our final two baptisms, Johnny Farr has two very special members of his family that he is going to baptize now.
This is my daughter, Ellie Farr. Ellie gave her life to Jesus a couple of months ago, sitting on her bed with her mom and I holding her hand. Ellie, are you following Christ in baptism because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, upon your public profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my earthly daughter and now my heavenly sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is my father, Les Farr. My dad gave his life to Christ this summer on a fishing trip with a handful of good men. And I love you, and I'm so proud to be your son. Dad, are you following Christ in baptism because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, upon your public profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my earthly father and my heavenly brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Man, thank you, Jesus. Y'all didn't know this morning was going to start like that, did you? Thank you, God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to see all of you. It's so good to worship with you. My name's Caleb. I'm one of our worship pastors. Welcome to Prestonwood. Thank you for joining us online, for the thousands of people every single week that call this home. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Maybe this is your very first time with us. Hey, we do this every single week. Maybe you've been coming for the last few weeks. You're just trying to figure out what this church is about. We want to connect with you. You can actually, if you want, take your phone out right now and text the word connect to 74788. We will send you more information. We'll answer any questions that you guys have. Or if you'd rather do things face-to-face, which is what we prefer too, then right after the service, right out these back doors, you can find a table with a banner that says Guest Central. Just head there and say, hey, this is my first time being here. We have a gift for you, one of our pastor's books, just for visiting with us today. And speaking of books, we hope that in the next couple of weeks you stop by our bookstore. It's right out these doors and down the hallway. Our pastor wrote a book a while back called The Essential Gospel. It is this incredible journey through the book of Romans. It is great for your own spiritual growth. It's also an incredible book to bless your family and friends with. So please stop by our bookstore and check that out. It's good to be here, and it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. We're going to worship this morning. We are going to praise God this morning. And we do that in a lot of different ways here at Prestonwood. We do that through giving. We do it through community. We do it through baptism, like you just saw, and through scripture and prayer. And one of my favorite ways to worship God is through singing. I remember when I was a kid, I was about 11 years old. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a Christian home. And my mom took me to Mardell, which is where I bought all my Christian music before iTunes came along. And we went in, and I had my own money, and I bought my first CD, and I was very proud of that. And it was a self-titled album from this band called Third Day. And I remember listening to that album all the way home and for the next however many months. And the songs that were jumping off of that album to me, Love Song and Consuming Fire and Thief. And I was like, man, Christian music is just not supposed to sound like this. And it stirred something in me and it inspired something in me. And through the years, as I stayed with that band, the voice of that band stuck with me and continued to inspire me and stir something in me. And we are so honored today to welcome one of the most influential voices in Christian music for the last 30 years, Mac Powell, to the stage. Mac is an incredible vocalist and songwriter, but I believe that if you asked him, he would tell you the most important thing about him is that he is a worshiper of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And if you don't know this Jesus that we're singing about or talking about today, at the end of the service, you're going to get an opportunity to meet him and start your relationship with him today. It can change your eternity today. God, it is so good to be in your presence. Thank you for already meeting us in this place. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. You're the only one who is worthy of our praises, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for already blessing us this morning. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen, church. I don't know if y'all quite, I know you know this, but it's probably good to be reminded of it as a visitor. First of all, I bring greetings from my church, Church of the Apostles, and Dr. Michael Youssef in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm so, if I can't be in my own church this morning, it is so good to be with y'all. Thank you for having me. You have an amazing team here. What an amazing worship team and all these musicians and singers. And what about this choir, y'all? I don't get the chance to sing with a choir very much, so thankful. And Dr. Graham, what an honor to be here and to just, we got to speak. We run into each other maybe once or twice a year at different events, and I got to speak with him for a few minutes after the first service, but I'm regretting a little bit that we didn't get a picture together, so you mind if we do a selfie? Let's do this real quick. I got to get those Instagram followers up on my numbers, so thank you for that. But I'm going to, listen, you have an amazing choir, but don't think that you're not part of the choir. You're part of the choir, too. We just don't have enough robes today, so everybody stand up. I'm going to sing a line. What song are we doing? Okay. I was in the wrong key. So I'm going to sing a line, and then you're going to go, let the name of the Lord be praised. And then I'm going to sing another line, and you're going to sing, let the name be praised. They got it already. You don't even need to practice. I love it. Here we go. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you sing, let the name of the Lord be praised. Both now and forevermore, all of heaven and earth proclaim. Y'all sing.
Let the name of the Lord be praised.
Amen. Come now, all you children, open up your eyes. Where two or more are gathered, his presence will abide. Lift your voice to heaven, there's only one to glorify, Jesus Christ. From the rising of the sun,
from the rising of the sun, to the going down of the same, let the name of the Lord be praised. Both now and forevermore, all of heaven and earth proclaim, let the name of the Lord. Forevermore, all of heaven and earth.
step. Here we go.
From the rising of the sun.
Sound good, church? We're gonna do an old school one. Let's see if anybody remembers this one this morning. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord on high.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. You are holy.
Lord, you are
holy. The universe declares your majesty.
You are holy.
You are holy.
Worship leader Caleb sing the second verse. Can we do that? Come on.
Sing early in the morning.
Early in the morning. I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the dark.
Worship the God of wonders this morning, because he is holy, he is worthy of all honor, of all glory, of all praise. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord. You are wonderful.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy.
Worthy. Yeah. Tell you what, let's close our eyes just for a moment. This is our prayer that we'll be singing together with our eyes closed. And as we close our eyes, you're going to forget just for a moment. I wonder if we can forget that we are even at this place. Forget about who's beside you. Forget about the cameras, the TV cameras. Forget about all those things, the outside things. And right now, we join in with countless angels and with saints who have gone before us. And we join in as they sing and as we sing, holy, holy. And right now, I wonder if in this moment it could be a moment where we just forget about that we're at a church service. We forget about everything around us, and we really just focus on Jesus and sing to him and sing and tell him, holy, holy,
are you Lord God?
Are you
Lord God Almighty?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Every voice lifted up.
Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord?
I see the stars.
I hear the rolling thunder.
I bow throughout
the universe display.
Then sings my soul.
Then sings my
soul, my Savior God to you.
How great.
How great thou art.
There.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art,
how great,
how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen, church, amen. Sing this song together. Let this be truly a prayer this morning for ourselves, for the church, for our nation, as we pray and sing to the God of revival.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end.
That's right.
The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again.
You believe that, church?
There's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible.
That's right.
And there's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. Possible.
My goodness, the presence of the Lord is in this place. He inhabits the praises of His people. We are worshiping Him. He is the God of revival, and He will revive His people. He will revive you and me. He will revive His church. He can revive America if we can turn back to Him. Anyone who needs Jesus is welcome in the family of God. Amen. And praise God for this opportunity we've had just to be together, to celebrate, and to share life together in this church, and to have Mac Powell with us this morning. Mac, thank you so very, very much for coming our way once again. And I've known Mac a while now and so appreciate his integrity, his faithfulness to the calling that God has given him, and that wonderful voice that he is using for God and for the work of Christ in his church. And man, that choir and singers on stage and Caleb, everybody sounding good together. Hey, have you ever seen two people sing any more effortlessly than Mac Powell and Caleb Moore. I mean, just so effortlessly. They should be a duo like Simon and Garfunkel, or I don't know, but they should get a bus and hit the road. Just great. But when Mac tells you about his church back in Atlanta, you know, it's always good to hear that people in ministry are engaged and involved in the ministry of a local church. And he is. And Michael Youssef, his pastor, also a good friend of mine. I highly recommend the ministry of Pastor Dr. Michael Youssef of Atlanta, Georgia, the Church of the Apostles there. If you live in the Atlanta area, if you have friends in that area, I would encourage you to go to Church of the Apostles and be a part of that ministry with Mac Powell and the pastor, wonderful Bible teacher, preacher, evangelist, an Egyptian who came to faith in Christ and is a powerful intellect and apologist for the Christian faith, author, Dr. Michael Youssef. I commend his ministry to you. So you know when a man like Mac Powell is a part of a church like that, he's getting grounded in truth and God's word with he and his family. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, getting grounded and growing in God's word. This is our series, Distinctives for Disciples, and it is a series about Christian living, how to live the Christian life, what every Christian should know about not only becoming a Christian, but being a Christian, and these foundational and functional truths of giving Christ your life and then growing and growing forward in your faith and becoming more and more like Jesus each day. These are the things that make for disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. And so we've talked about assurance of our salvation, saved, certain, and secured. We've talked about what it means to become a Christian and what is a Christian. These are subjects already covered, and I would encourage you, if you are just checking in or checking things out at Prestonwood, go online to prestonwood.org, and you can pick up these messages that we've preached in this series, and all the messages, absolutely free, of course. Just go on there and get them, and go with us and catch up with us. We're going to be doing this all fall long. Now, today's message is going to be in two parts. That was not necessarily intended, but I found out in the first service I can't get through this sermon in 25 minutes that I have today. So we're going to take it in two parts because it is so very important, and that is the transforming power of the Word of God. The transforming power of the Word of God. This is all about the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Can we know this is truly God's Word? And because it is God's Word, how do we grow in our faith and develop an understanding? How do we read the Bible? How do we understand the Bible? What do we believe about this book? So take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17 to start. And so very important that you bring your Bible with you when you come to church. And if you don't have a copy of Scripture, there's one provided for you in the pew rack in front of you. But the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God should be thoroughly equipped in all good work. This is the Bible. The Bible is the best-selling book of all times. More copies have been printed and produced of the Bible and in more language to more people than any other book in history. There is a book that is an all-time bestseller. Not the book of the month, but the book of the ages, and it's the Bible. Amen. Number one, whatever is second is a distant second, runner-up, because the Bible is the book of all books. Every Sunday and every day, the Bible is read, studied, preached, lived in every nation, on every continent. It has been translated into every major language in the world throughout history and is now currently also being translated to tribal groups all over the world in every crevice of the planet, people groups. It's the Word of God. It's the word that we preach. It's what we proclaim, the word of God and testimony of Jesus. But what is it about this book that is so popular? What is it about the Bible that still lives? There is a museum for the Bible in Washington, D.C. And I've been many times. Our church is a part of the sponsorship of the Museum of the Bible. And we have been an endorser and a contributor to this work. It's a great work in the very shadow of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. stands this magnificent museum as a tribute and a testimony to the Bible, its history, its authenticity. And every time I go there, and I would encourage you to go there as well, I'm reminded of why we believe the Bible, because in all of history there is nothing like the Scripture. We call this book the Word of God. We believe that God wrote a book. This is His book. It's a holy book. And that's what sets the Bible apart from every other book in all of history. When we speak of the Scriptures, and that's a word that's used of the Bible itself, in the Bible, the Scriptures. These are called the Holy Scriptures. Paul spoke to Timothy of the Holy Scriptures that he had learned since he was a youth. This is the Bible. And when you speak of the Bible, this is the very words of God. I listened to a podcast this week. It was actually an interview of a psychiatrist, an expert in human behavior. And he spoke of holding a human brain in his hands. Can you imagine that? He literally held a brain. And he said when he held this brain in his hands, he contemplated all the thoughts and the memories and experiences and life all in that brain. A soul departed. The brain, in effect, represents a life, a person. You, of course, have your heart, your lungs, your circulatory system, your cardiovascular system, but the brain houses this wonderful history of your life. When you hold a brain in your hand, you're holding life and the memory of that life. And as I heard that man talk about holding a brain, I thought about holding a book in my hands that contains the mind of God. The thoughts of God, the intents of God, the ways and the wonders of God. That God, of course, way beyond a book and way beyond a brain as we could know it, is the brain of God, the mind of God. But when you pick up this book, this contains God. It's alive, this book, because He is alive. And He has revealed Himself in a multiple of ways. One, He reveals Himself in creation. We just worship to the God of wonders, the God of the galaxies, the God of creation. And when we look into the skies and see the wonders of His glory, the heavens declare the glory of God. We realize that God has spoken. And as Francis Schaeffer said a number of years ago, God has spoken. He is not silent. And He speaks in the wonders and the glories of His creation. This is called, among theologians and people who study such things, general revelation. In that God has revealed Himself in the skies, in the wonders of creation. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Your hands have made. Amen. We see the stars, we hear the thunder. All of that speaks of God and God revealing Himself. But of course, general revelation, the revelation of creation, that can be ambivalent, can't it? And there are times we look at tragedies in the world and hurricanes tornadoes and all the vast kinds of crisis of nature and all the rest. And We wonder, well, what does that say then about God? How can we know or understand a God who created all of this, and yet there is in the wonders of creation the horrors of a world and a system and that is in distress? So general revelation, which means a revelation to all people, everyone can see. Paul talked about this in the heavens, that in the book of Romans chapter 1, that we see the invisible hand of God at work in his creation. But what does creation say? It's incomplete. God also speaks in the human consciousness. Every person who is born with a God conscience. That is an inclination, an intuitive desire to know God, the one who made us, the one who created us and placed in us an awareness of being that thinks. We have a conscience, and that conscience seeks after God. That conscience can be damaged by sin, and the conscience of a human being can even be destroyed and so hardened that the conscience can no longer speak. But there is a conscience. All of the people through the ages have it. Those big questions that human beings ask, like, who am I and why am I here? Those college, university questions that people ask. What is this all about? What am I all about? What is life all about? Is there a God? Can I know him? That's the conscience that God has created and the ability to know him. But conscience, like creation, is incomplete. That's a general thing. But God has given us something more than a natural revelation. That is a supernatural revelation. And the supernatural revelation is what he has given to us in Christ, in the Bible. Christ perfectly reveals who God is. And God has revealed Christ in Christ himself, who is the living Word of God, the incarnate Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus is the living Word of God who walked in a body. But God also recorded this revelation in a book, and that book is the Bible. So in the skies, in the spirit of a human being, in the scriptures, in the Savior, God has revealed himself. We use, here at our church, three words that describe what we believe about the Bible. One word, you saw it show up in the scripture that we read just a moment ago, that all scripture is inspired by God. Breathe out. God breathe. Do you know why this book lives? It's because the breath of God is in it. The life of God is in his word. The living word of God inspired all scripture. God breathed. God spoke through human authors for sure. But they wrote down his words. God wrote this book. Inspired, in every part, inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. If you've been around your Bible for a while, you know that the Bible, this book, is actually a veritable library of books, 66 of them, the books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And both the New Testament and the Old Testament is breathed out by God. Therefore, it is true. It is trustworthy. It is not just a book that is inspiring. The Bible is inspired. There's a big difference from reading something that is inspiring, hearing something that is inspiring, and hearing the inspired Word of God. The inspiration of the scripture. This is God's book, inspired, breathed out by God. No wonder it is last, because it lives. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So inspiration is a word. Then infallible is another word we use to describe the Bible. Infallible, in that it is the truth of God without any error. It's all the truth of God. And because all the Bible is true, not just the parts you like, but everything in the Bible is truth, it is therefore trustworthy. It is infallible, the infallible word of God. And there's a third word that we use and to describe the Bible, and that is inerrant, which means without error. The Bible is not inspired just in spots or in thoughts or in big ideas, but just like mathematics, you cannot have mathematics without numbers. You cannot have a message without words. You cannot have a word without words, the word of God. So Jesus said, not a jot or a tittle, not even a punctuation point in God's word will pass away. All the words of God are inspired. I remember as a young pastor, I was sitting in a group of pastors, most of them older than me, and we were talking about the nature of the Bible, and we were in the throes of the beginning of what some have termed the battle for the Bible back in the 1970s when the Southern Baptist Convention went through a spiritual revolution regarding the Bible, and many, many pastors were questioning the Word of God, in particular the inerrancy of Scripture, suggesting that the Bible in part was the Word of God, and they were inspired to pick out the part that was, I presume. The Bible inspired in spots, I'm inspired to pick out the spots. And so we were all asked in a circle of about 15 or 20 of us to go around the room and to say in one sentence what we believed about the Bible. One sentence. And so I'm listening to some of these great men that I admire, go around the room, say certain things about the Bible. And I thought, you know, there's a guy sitting next to me. I know what he believes about the Bible, and it's not that much. And I thought I'll just draw this guy out and see if he takes the bait. So when it came to me before him, I said, the Bible is the Word of God. And that's a very upright statement. It is the Word of God. And he took the bait, the guy next to me. He said, the Bible contains the Word of God. And in the difference in those two words, is the Word of God, as to containing the Word of God, is you have the difference between belief and unbelief. This is not just a vehicle that contains God's Word. This is God's Word. Truth without any mixture of error. Now, this is what I believe about the Bible. This is what we believe as a church about the Bible. But how can we know? Jack Graham, how can you be so sure? And no doubt there are some skeptics among us or listening today, or maybe you're wondering, or maybe you've had questions, and maybe you grew up knowing about the Bible, believing the Bible. Now, one of the problems we've got in church and churches today is that many people grow up around the Bible, but they don't know their Bibles. The lack of understanding and reading of the Bible among Christians is a disaster today. Many people don't know what their Bible, the first thing about what their Bible is even about. You say, I'm a Christian, but I don't know about the Bible. And you read all the numbers and all the data and all the statistics that are out there today, and you see that many professing Christians and church members do not have a biblical view of life, a biblical view of the world. This is why we are so committed to biblical worldview here at Prestonwood, not only teaching the Bible from this pulpit and in our life group classes, our fellowship around God's Word, in our small groups, in every way that we can, men's and women's group. We're teaching the Word of God, but we're taking it a step further in our worldview, understanding. Dr. Jeremiah Johnson has come on our staff as pastor to apologetics. He is the spiritual development leader of Prestonwood Christian Academy, and for a number of years we have hosted what is known as a Biblical Worldview Conference. And it was for students and local area Christian students, but we've expanded it under the leadership of Dr. Goddard, our headmaster, superintendent, and Dr. Jeremiah, and now we're making it available for everyone in the church, including some night sessions, so you can come at the end of September, and I would encourage you. But whether you can come to that conference or not, what we're talking about when we're speaking of the Bible is that we learn to live and give our lives through the lens of Scripture. That we don't look at the world, we don't look at the Scripture through the lens of the world, but we look at the world through the lens of Scripture, that we see everything through what God has said. How can you be so sure? What's the evidence? That's what we're going to be talking about with some of the greatest speakers in the world at the Worldview Conference. That's what I am going to be saying over the next couple of weeks about the Bible, because I'm going to show you some of the evidence. The evidence as to why we can make such bold and bodacious statements about the Bible, that the Bible is inspired, infallible, inerrant. I can't prove the Bible to you or anyone else. It's not my role to prove the Bible. I can only point a person to the evidence. And you choose to believe the evidence or not. But this is the Bible. Let me start by challenging you to investigate the claims of the Bible. In the moments that we have left, let's talk about the claims of God's Word, the claims of the Bible itself. And the Bible claims inspiration for itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says that holy men of old spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, not by the will of man, but men spoke from God. You often see in the Bible, you read it, both testaments of the Bible, God speaking with words like this, and the word of the Lord said, and then he spoke it through a person. God declared, God spoke. These authors then wrote it down, this supernatural, remember we use the word not natural, but supernatural, this supernatural spirit-breathed, powerful word of God. These authors claim to speak not just about God, but for God. And there's a big difference. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit when God gave them his word. The idea of carried along here is a picturesque word in the language of the New Testament. It's a portrait of a ship with sails and the winds blowing the sails and the ship being guided by the wind in the sails. That's the word used here by Peter when he's describing how God inspired his word as these were carried along. The Holy Spirit breathed it out. Whether it was Moses or David or Daniel or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, all of these were breathed upon and through and by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 1:9 says, I have put my words in your mouth. There's no better declaration of inspiration of Scripture in that. I have put my words in your mouth. So this is way, way, way beyond human inspiration. This is holy inspiration. And the word holy, we just sang of the holiness of God. It means unique, distinct, altogether different. The Scriptures are the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. So not inspiration like an inspired human author. Shakespeare may be inspiring to some who like such things. I actually like Shakespeare. But that's inspiring, but it's not inspiration. It's not God-breathed. It's human-breathed. I was reading an article just this week about well-known fiction writer John Grisham. I've been reading Grisham's novels through the years, and they're pure entertainment. In fact, he says in the interview that he realizes that his what he writes is not literature, that it's entertainment. Well, I like the entertainment of a legal thriller, and he writes some good ones. Grisham has Southern Baptist roots in Arkansas, by the way. Just like me, a lot of good things come out of Arkansas from time to time. Amen. John Grisham is from Arkansas. He went on to get a law degree, but he had this burning, this itch to write books and to tell stories. And so he wrote one that he sold out of the back seat of his car, out of the trunk of his car to anyone who would take them. And then came The Firm. And his newest book that's coming up in October, thus the interview that I read in the Wall Street Journal, is talking about his next book, which is about what happened to him. You ever wonder whatever happened to Mitch in The Firm? But he's going to tell us in this next book what happened to Mitch and his wife and all the people over there in Memphis in The Firm. But I was amazed by Grisham's discipline, how he approaches writing a book. I'm writing a book right now, and I was inspired by what Grisham said. He gets to work every morning at 7 o'clock. He gets an idea, and he shares the idea, the story, just the cusp of the story with wife. His wife is very involved in some of this, and just a small group of people. They talk about the story, and then in January every year, in preview of the book that he's going to write to be released in, I presume, October, he sits down from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock every day, and he writes. And when he writes, he said something of his style. He Googles things. He researches things. Because if you read a book by Grisham, when you sit down at a table of breakfast in the South in one of John Grisham's novels, you can smell the biscuits. I mean, it's just so strong, the way he is able to communicate with language and with stories and compelling, interesting stories. And he sold millions and millions and millions and millions of books, of course, that I guess you could say are inspiring books in one sense. They're certainly entertaining. But he said something in the article that I noted. He said, before I write a book, before I write the first chapter of a book, I write the last chapter. Because I want to know where the story's going before I start. God has written a book, and it's the story of salvation and redemption in Christ. And I would suggest that you read the last chapter of the book before you even get started in the Bible, because the last chapter in the book tells us of a risen Savior, a God who wins. Jesus won and has won for us, and our victory is in Him. And the whole story that begins in Genesis chapter 1 in creation, and all the prophecies and all the patriarchs and all of the Pentateuch and all of the Gospels and all of the letters, all of this is about this one story of a God who loves you and gave His Son on the cross to die for you. All of the story, to rise again on the third day, is all about this story of Jesus. It is direct, it is dynamic, it is deified. These are not human computers writing this like machines. This is not just dictation for sure. The vocabulary of the writers, from Moses to David to Paul to the rest, you see their personalities, their background, their experience. But when they wrote what God gave them. They wrote the very words of God. And so there's not anything in your Bible that doesn't need to be there, nor is there anything omitted from your Bible that needs to be there. These human authors, by divine inspiration, gave us this word. And whatever you may say or think about the Bible, you have to agree that the Bible claims this for itself. That's why I'm starting this message, two parts, with what the Bible claims for itself. That's why the devil has tried to distort it, deny it, disrupt the message of the Bible, It's been banned. It's been booed. It's been burned, canceled, criticized, scrutinized. But the Word of God lives. And millions of people throughout the generations have staked their lives on the truth of its message. Whatever you say about the Bible, start there. What does the Bible say about itself? We're going to go beyond the Bible's claims for itself, and we're going to be looking next week at some of the other evidences for the truth and the trustworthiness of the Bible. But today, before we go, what did Jesus say about the Bible? Because I want to know what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is that I have not come to destroy the law, the prophets, the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. What Jesus said is that not one word of God's word will be broken, that it is pure, that it is whole. We'll talk about the unification of the Bible and how it has one unique unifying theme throughout it. And that unique unifying theme of the Bible is Jesus himself. Jesus said, you search the scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 39, because they testify of me. This is the story of salvation. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ. From the revelation, or pardon me, from the book of Genesis, from creation to the revelation, and everything through and through, it is in preparation, announcement of the coming of Christ and the one who's coming again, Jesus our Lord. It's all about him. Can I just give you, in closing, a testimony, a personal testimony about the Bible, my Bible? I've had many of them through the years, but my first one was given to me by my family, specifically my grandfather. And I'm grateful for parents who believe the Bible and a grandfather who read the scriptures to me. Some of you have heard me speak of this before and of him. I'm grateful for Sunday school teachers as a little boy. I feel like Timothy, and then Paul spoke of Timothy and said, you have known the Holy Scriptures since your youth because of your mother Lois and your grandmother. And like as a little boy, I revel in the stories of the Bible, the adventures of the Bible. My grandfather would read to me a book called Hurlbut's Stories of the Bible. It had pictures. I love the pictures. Before I learned to read, the Bible was read to me. I learned to read hearing the Bible read, really, not with Spot and Jane and whoever Jane was with. Who was Jane? Oh, thank you. Mine was more Peter and Paul and Mary. These were the characters that I grew up reading and reading about. And so it's so important, parents and grandparents, that you read the scriptures to your children and that you help your children understand the Bible. Amen. It's in our program today in the article written by Jeremiah Johnston. And I believe in the article it says something about how early on in life our worldviews are framed. And by age 13, they're pretty much set. Essential to get our children in truth early in their lives, teaching the Word of God. They can overcome it. They can come to Christ as some of you did without a Christian home or family or the Bible. But it's rare. It's the work and the miracle of God. But I'm saying I'm so grateful that the Bible has been such an integral part of my life. And I've spent these years learning more and more about the Bible. And when I was in London this summer at Oxford University, when Dr. Johnson and our two sons, Jason and Josh, we were taken back to see the manuscript, one of the first manuscripts of the Gospel of Matthew, just pieces, just fragments. Probably end of second century. We'll talk about the manuscript evidence of the Bible and for the Bible next week. But I held in my hands once again pieces of the Bible so old, 2,000 years plus. And I looked at that and I realized now, as a man with ever-increasing birthdays, I thought about when I first held a Bible as a little boy. I truly did. I thought about the first time I held my little New Testament given to me by my grandfather. And now I'm looking at this ancient fragment of manuscript, and I realize that I believe the Bible now, after all these years, more than ever. With all the doubts and experiences that come in life and stuff that happens in life, I've leaned on the Lord and His Word throughout my days. And I'm standing here as a testimony to you that you can believe the Bible all your life. You don't have to say, well, that's a storybook for children. No, it's God's book for you. It's the transforming power of the Scripture. And there's convicting power, because when God's Word is preached, we're convicted of our sin and our need of a Savior and His salvation. It's converting power. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is counseling power, because Psalm 119, verse 105, I hung it in my room as a youth. Your Word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. So we have counsel in God's Word. We have comfort in God's Word. There's comforting power in God's Word. How many times have we opened the Scripture to someone with a broken heart and shared God's Word and seen God bring comfort through the Scriptures to people's lives? There's cleansing power in the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth, O God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving attention to your word, O God. Yes, there's convicting power and converting power and counseling power and comforting power and conquering power. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we can defeat every enemy and subdue every stronghold in our lives by the power and the authority of the Word of God. Amen. Know it, love it, believe it, live it, lean on it. Because the Bible, through Jesus Christ our Lord, will transform your life. Would you stand with me, please, everyone standing together? I'm going to give you an invitation right now to respond to the Word of God that you've heard. You may not understand everything. You, of course, probably do not. But you do understand that you need a Savior. You do know that you need Jesus. You do know that even as I've spoken the Word of God, there's been another voice in you speaking, saying, when I've quoted Scripture or said something about the Lord, saying, that's right, that's right. That's the work of the Holy Spirit convicting you and convincing you. There's convincing power in the Scriptures, convincing us that what we read and what we hear is true. When you hear the Word of God, imagine all over the world today, people are gathering in tents and huts and hovels and streets and churches, big and small, hearing the Word of God that we have heard this morning. So I'm asking you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus that we've shared today. And so I'm going to ask you to come and follow Christ. And our pastors are going to be here at the front. Our pastors are going to be upstairs as well to receive you as you make your way. If you are already a believer in Jesus, and you want to be a member of Prestonwood because you believe as we believe about the Bible and a biblical worldview, and you want to be a part of a church like this, which unapologetically, without compromise, preaches and teaches the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, then I'm going to invite you to come and join with us and be a part of this great church family and taking the message of the Bible to the world. Lord, may it be true, may it be so in every heart that you would live like your word lives. Impart the truth, enlighten minds, open hearts, burn within us, Lord, the words of Scripture. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.